Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, to our friends at the jail, and those of you who are here in the room. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to forget the bad things that are going on outside of your immediate circumstances? Like, there's wars going on around the world and you just forget about it. We're doing our thing, and you just, unless you're like the watch the news every day type of person. But if you look at a map today, the darker colors are where there's a war going on right now, and you think, wow, I don't even realize that. Like, there's a lot of people fighting against other people right now. There's wars in Israel and Ukraine and Myanmar and Mali and Sudan and all over our world. And we just kind of forget about it. The truth is, throughout history, wars have been a constant. We've kind of seen a little bit of relaxation since World War II and less death as a result of war since then. But wars have just kind of always happened throughout history. And why do wars happen? Because of sin. Sin causes wars, and they're going to keep happening until Christ redeems the whole world, until Christ establishes heaven on earth. But if you look at this map, you recognize that the U.S. is gray, and you start to think, well, we don't have to worry about this stuff because we're blessed. We are in America. The truth is that if you are a Christian, you live in the reality of a different kind of war. This war between the flesh, the sinful nature, and the spirit, and our Christian nature, our Christian identity, who we have been recreated to be. We battle not against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world. The truth is, Christian, you are in a battle. Until your body dies or Christ returns, there will be an ongoing war within you between your spirit and your flesh. But it's always happening. So we just kind of forget about it. In today's Galatians passage, Paul offers us a solution to this problem, this battle between the flesh and the spirit. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. This idea really is key to my theology. I establish a lot of what I believe about what it means to be a Christian on this one reality. I believe very optimistically that if you will truly surrender to God, if you will say yes to Him, then He will mature you. He will grow you. He will make you into the person that He created you to be. We call it sanctification. We believe that God is actively, if you are His child, He is actively maturing you. And it's not just a straight line up and to the left and everything is hunky-dory. We're just constantly growing. There's ups and downs. There's steps forward and steps backward. That's just kind of the reality of life. It's messy and hard. But the goal is, the idea is, that I'm better today than I was yesterday. I'm more mature now than I was a year ago. I'm growing. I am becoming. All throughout life, we have decisions that we have to make. All day, every day, we're making decisions. Will I do the right thing or the wrong way? Will I go this way or will I go that way? And the reality is, the war that is within us is that kind of daily decision-making process. Should I eat ice cream and watch TV? Or should I eat salad and exercise? Ice cream, okay, well, you lost. So that's just... And the truth is, if you think about a life where you're just constantly facing these forks in the road, these difficult decisions, that makes life sound really hard, right? And you start to think, what's even the point? Should I even try? That just sounds like too much. Well, the good news is that one good decision leads to another good decision, and a bad decision tends to lead to another bad decision. In our lives, decisions compound. You make one good decision, the next one gets a little bit easier. But what tends to happen, the reason why Scripture teaches us to pray without ceasing, is that we live constantly following the Spirit is because it shows us that when I take a step toward God, the next step toward Him becomes a little bit easier. It becomes part of my nature. I get in the flow of good decisions. I get in the flow of following Christ. Have you ever heard of laminar flow? Laminar flow is this idea. This is what they call it when water is moving so smoothly and so consistently that it looks like the water is just glass. It's not moving at all. It looks a little bit like this. You look at that water and it looks like it's not moving. The truth is, it is moving. It's just moving so smoothly, so consistently, that it just looks like glass. I think this is what can happen to us. You've seen people who follow God like this. Like, following Him is just part of who you are. It's just the reality. I don't have to wrestle with it. It's not really hard. It's not like every single decision I've got to like seek God and dig into Scripture to figure out which direction I can go. I've just learned throughout my life, after making decisions and following Him, I've learned what it looks like for me to live in step with Him. I've learned what it looks like to follow Him because of this prayer without ceasing, because of this life of just constantly taking each next step with Him in mind. Paul says this, so let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. I love this verse. I want to claim this verse as a promise. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite. The Spirit gifts us. It is a gift to us. He gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature wants. There's been so many times in my life when I've wanted to change a habit or I've wanted to change something about my life, and I'm like, God, can you please just make it where I don't desire that anymore? Can you just remove that temptation? Can you just make it so I don't even want to do the bad thing anymore? Paul tells us that the Spirit will give us good desires, to desire the things that God wants us to have. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, the good desires and the bad desires. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Have you felt that battle? Paul seems in all of his writings to be fighting this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. That's the fork in the road. That's the reality we live in. So how do we do it? If you're like me, you want at this point not just some philosophical idea, you want some practical steps, right? What's the next step that I can take? Well, if you did the PSA, so we recently did this thing called personal spiritual assessments. Most of you took these personal spiritual assessments, and it gave you some next steps that you can take. If you haven't done it yet, you can go do it right now. We've decided to offer these ongoing. So if you go to newlifegillette.com/PSA, you can take that assessment at any time. And then a spiritual advisor will send you a recommendation. They're going to pray over the results of your assessment. They're going to pray and ask God to give them wisdom and instruction. And they're going to give you some instructions about some next steps that you can take. That's practical next steps. How can I, in this next moment, actually follow the Spirit? If you got one of those emails and recommendations and you kind of just put it aside and you haven't gotten back to it, get back to it. Go do it. Don't put it off. Make it a part of your daily habit. The truth is, in order to follow the Spirit, we have to put God first daily. It's every morning decision. You got any habits in your life that you just do naturally every single day without even thinking about it? Just kind of, this is what we do, this is our daily routine, and we get into it, and we don't even have to really think about it. That's the way coffee is in our house. I've never woke up one morning and said, hey, Darce, we should have coffee today. Never said that. You know why I don't have to say that? Because we do it every single morning. It's just part of our routine. And so we have developed habits in our life that some are good habits, some are bad habits. Is coffee a good habit or a bad habit? Good. Okay. Well, I don't know. Some people tell me that it's going to like kill me. I don't know, but I love it. So some things are worth it. Anyway, so every morning we make these choices. We make these decisions and we decide, I'm going to do this and not this. Other days, we just kind of stay in the flow. We've developed a good routine. Now I don't have to fight that battle anymore. I'm going to adopt another routine. And it's just this process of developing routines, developing habits in our life. You know, we are part of the Methodist movement. John Wesley kind of led this Methodist idea. The idea was that you adopt methods in your life that then help you to walk more in line, in the flow with the Spirit. The truth is, in your life, there are going to come times when you're going to think, you know what? I need to make a change. I've been saying some words in my vocabulary that should not be there. I'm going to remove them from my vocabulary. Guess what? It won't work. It's too hard. You've gotten into the habit. You've gotten into the routine. So what do you do to remove those words from your vocabulary? What you've got to do is replace them with better words, with good words. This is true about our habits in our life. If I want to remove a bad habit, I've got to replace that habit with a good habit. If you want to stop watching bad movies, then adopt a healthy habit, or maybe watch good movies. You know how many good Christian movies there are out there now, right now? Like, you got options. I've been watching through The Chosen again. Dude, watch The Chosen. Download the Angel app and watch The Chosen. It's like reading the Bible, but more entertaining. Like, I don't know if you can still be a Christian if you haven't watched The Chosen. It's awesome. Yes, you can. Darcy has not watched The Chosen. I'll throw her under the bus. I don't know what you said, but you need to watch. Watch The Chosen. It's so good. Adopt a good habit and crowd out the bad habits. So Paul says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. If I follow my flesh, if I do what feels good, if I do what comes naturally, this is what results: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, this is fun, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Does this look like anybody's? Don't raise your hand, just kidding. This is what comes naturally. If we just do what our flesh wants us to do, this is what our life becomes. But Christians, we are saved. We talk about being saved. What are we saved from? Well, we're saved from this life because it sucks. This life is going to cause you pain. It's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt the people around you. You've been saved from that life. But you're also saved, when you're saved, from God's wrath, from the destruction of these things. When God gives you his grace, when he gives you his holiness, he pulls you out of the way of these things. Because someday, Jesus is going to destroy everything that hurts people. He's going to what's sin? Sin is anything that hurts people. If you're making a decision on a daily basis, go to the next slide. If you're making a decision on a daily basis that hurts you or hurts the people around you or hurts God, that is sin. And someday, Jesus has told us that he is bringing heaven to earth where there will be no pain. And if there will be no pain, that means there will be no sin. So Jesus, in order to establish his kingdom in this world, to bring heaven to earth, has to remove all the sin. And the hope, the reason why he dies on the cross, is so that he doesn't have to remove you in order to get the sin out of the world. You want to know what hell is? Hell is God removing sin from the world and casting out all those people whose lives are sin. Now, the good news for us is that God has offered to gift us his holiness, to give us his goodness. He did it for us. But heaven is coming to earth like a speeding train. You either get on the train or you get out of the way because it's going to run you over. This is the truth. This is the good news, though. He's inviting you onto the train. He's inviting you to be a part. And he says, if you will get on the train, if you will become a part of this movement, then he will change you. Then he will mature you. Then he will make you into the person he created you to be. I remember when I started theology school when I was a kid, and one of the first classes that I was in after you get past all the gen ed stuff. One of the first theology classes I was in, the professor gets up there and he puts this verse on the screen. And he was like, how can this possibly be true? Here's the verse. Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead. That's a hard one for Christians. Works, we use the word works to reference good things that we do. So you're going to hear those two words used interchangeably. Words and good deeds, good things. And throughout Scripture, the New Testament, there is this challenging tension between faith and works. But Scripture does not talk to them as opposed to each other. Scripture talks about them as if when you have one, you have the other. Because this says faith is not enough unless you have good deeds. So how can that verse be true, but also Ephesians 2:9 be true? Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it. You know, we can recognize that someone is truly a Christian when we see that they are empowered by the Spirit to do the good things that God created us to do. Good deeds is evidence that we have faith. Good deeds is proof that Jesus is in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. It's evidence, and it's unavoidable. He will perfect you. He will grow you. He will mature you. If you are truly a Christian, if you are truly a child, he will lead you on a journey of becoming the person he created you to be. And what does that do? Number one, the good deeds is evidence of our faith, but then also it makes our faith effective. Faith without works is dead. In other words, impotent, incapable of doing the work that God put us on in this world to do. The works are what makes us his hands and feet, capable of doing his mission. Christians, we are changed by grace. Because if I told you that I'm a coffee lover, then I never drank coffee, would you believe me? You'd be like, no, prove it. You'd be like, okay, well, every morning I make coffee. Nope, that's still not proof. What is the proof that you need in order to believe that I'm a coffee lover? The proof you need is that I drink coffee. And I seem to enjoy the coffee when I drink it. Now, drinking coffee doesn't make me a coffee lover. I could drink it and hate it the whole time. But if I told you that I was a coffee lover, but I never drank the coffee, you would be skeptical. So, cheers. If you're jealous, there's more in the lobby, I heard. The truth is that if I say that I'm a Christian, yet you never see Christ-like actions in my life, then you should be skeptical. Because Christ says that he will produce in us good works, that the Spirit in us will give us good desires, that he will produce in our life good fruit is what will result. It's evidence. It's proof. So if you don't see the fruit, you should have some questions. Now, I'm not saying that anybody who sins is not a Christian. This is the danger of having this conversation. Because our temptation is to nitpick ourselves and recognize the things about ourselves that God has not yet matured, that where we have not grown, the bad habits we've not removed from our lives. It's a journey. Ups and downs, mistakes, steps forward. That's just the reality of it. But there should be evidence that I am doing some of the things that God commanded me to do. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, remember he just listed all the bad behaviors, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? It's evidence that they're not Christians. It's evidence that they're not following Christ. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What does he do? When he comes in, if the Spirit is in our life, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit tries to produce this kind of fruit in our lives. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit might produce this kind of fruit in our lives. It does every time. The word does not return void. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there are no laws. Why is that? Because why would you make a law against something that creates goodness for our world, not pain? This is what it looks like to be a Christian, to follow Christ. This is the evidence. This is the fruit. Sometimes we think that the cross is evidence of Christ's weakness, that he made himself weak so that he could be on the cross. I don't think the cross is evidence of Christ's weakness. The cross is evidence of his incredible strength, of his spiritual might and power. What was Jesus doing when he was 22 years old? Anybody know? Nobody? What was Jesus doing when he was 23? 24? 25? Nobody has any clue. Like, we have no idea what Jesus does until he's 30. He's just like, why? Because Jesus was growing. He was maturing. His flesh and his spirit were fighting some battles. He was choosing God daily. He was growing and he was becoming more and more of who his heavenly Father intended him to be. And so Jesus goes to the cross not because his flesh was weak and he couldn't fight against it. Jesus goes to the cross because his spirit was strong. When most of us would have said, no way, he said, yes. No one, he said this, no one takes my life from me. That's a fun phrase to say. Jesus, sometimes Jesus has a little bit of an attitude. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Jesus was following the Spirit. He had plenty of power to stay off the cross, but he also had the strength to endure it. Why? Because he loves you. Because he saw you in your sin and he saw that you needed to be rescued. That's real power. That's real strength. And that's the example that we are to follow in our lives. That daily I become more and more sacrificial. I give more and more. I don't stop growing. I don't stop maturing. I never am satisfied where I am. I recognize that the goal that I'm shooting for is perfection. The goal that I'm shooting for is Christ, and I'm never there, so I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep fighting the battle. I'm going to keep recognizing that every single morning I've got to say yes to him, and that's probably going to mean doing something that I don't want to do. That means surrendering something I don't want to give up every single day. So let's conclude the passage. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to this cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part, every minute, every day, in every part of our lives. We cannot be saved by doing the fruit of the Spirit, but after we are saved, Scripture tells us that we will, that He will produce the fruit of the Spirit. This week I asked ChatGPT, what's the gospel? ChatGPT is AI. This is what ChatGPT says the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of God's love, grace, and redemption through Jesus Christ, inviting all people to receive the gift of salvation and experience the abundant life that comes from knowing and following Jesus. Amen, ChatGPT. He got it. Or did he? I think what this proves to us is that you can have the knowledge of the gospel without it actually changing you. ChatGPT is incapable of being changed by the gospel because it has no spirit. It might be a mind with no spirit. You can know the gospel without the gospel actually changing you, without you actually saying yes to it, surrendering to it. So the invitation is to surrender to it. Let it change you. Say yes to him every morning. We will never make an impact on the world until the gospel makes an impact on us. Faith without works is dead. become the person that you were created to be. When we are adopted into God's family, the Spirit leads us. And what a blessing it is. It's the good life. It is a better life. Being led by the Spirit is not a burden. Being led by the Spirit is freedom. It's power. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to the mortal bodies, to your mortal bodies, by the same Spirit living within you. It raised Jesus from the dead, and it will raise you from the dead. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me, then why am I still living in sin? Why am I still dead? Why would I keep surrendering to my flesh? I wouldn't. I have a new life. I know a better way. So what part of your sinful nature are you still letting control you? It's today is the day for you to decide to follow the Spirit. Have you surrendered your finances? Do you follow the Spirit in your spending and in your saving and in your giving habits? What about in your words, your vocabulary? Would God be proud of you if he sat next to you as you talk to your coworkers? Is God speaking to you and through you in your daily life? What about your sex life? What about your relationships and the way you treat the people around you? What about your eating and drinking habits? Follow the Spirit every morning. Surrender to him. God, I thank you that you have made a way for us to become the people that you created to be, us to be, that you empowered us. God, I pray that we would stop resisting you and surrender to you. I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.